When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance on this Monday, coming off the rarest of rarities, the game that exceeds all the buildup. We're going to start with that and go from there. Showtime, let's do it.
Here we go!
Only one place to start. The madness continues. Westwood One, NCAA Radio Network.
Heels kick their rivals to the curb on their way to their 12th national title game. And in the process, end the career of the Hall of Fame coach Mike Krzyzewski.
That was the scene on Saturday night. And I will say this. I mean, I've been doing this job a really long time. I have been a part of the hype and buildup for a million games of the century. And almost never do they meet the moment. I can't think of too many times where the game was even better than I imagined in my wildest dreams it might be. But that's what Saturday night was. And at some point, I stopped caring about who was going to win. It didn't matter who I was rooting for. I just didn't ever want the game to end. It was that kind of special. And let's get into it here. Duke and Carolina, we'll look ahead to the championship game. Our beloved Jay Billis is with us. It is better breakfast o'clock at Wendy's, so get a bacon or sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit for $1. Good morning, Billis.
Good morning, Mike.
I need to ask you first and foremost, because you and I have talked about Coach K so many times. And I know you have said to me two different things. One, that for now, I guess, the better part of 40 years, you haven't made a big decision in your life without checking in with him first. And second, I know that you've said to me that one of the proudest things you have in your life is that you chose Coach K before that was fashionable, before everybody would have chosen Coach K if they could. So I know that you are the ultimate professional. But what was the emotion like for you as you watched that end the way it ended on Saturday night?
Well, it was an interesting contrast because I count Hubert Davis among my most valued friends. And so watching on one hand, Hubert, you know, go to his first title game and watching his players, and on the other side, watching Coach K, knowing that it was his last game. And then as he walked off, knowing that's the last time we're going to see him coach. You know, it was an interesting sort of emotional contrast because, you know, I get that this is competition. And so in every game, somebody wins, somebody loses, and it's meaningful to everyone involved. And so I'm always mindful of that. And but when you watched him walk off, you know, my thoughts were more, rather than some sort of feeling of sadness, it was more gratitude for all he's done in the game, all he's meant to all of us. Whether you played for him or not, and he's meant so much to basketball, and for all he's done for me personally, that was sort of the feeling. Was I was just really grateful for what we've had, rather than thinking about what we're going to miss in the future.
Jay, I know this isn't your favorite thing to do, but I make my living doing it, and that is trying to figure out where that ranks among the greatest games that I've seen recently. You know, when we talk about the most famous college basketball games, you know, I think of the Christian Laettner game against Kentucky, and there are many others. Like, I can't picture a better game than that. When you consider the stakes, when you consider everything that was going on, when you look at how well both teams played, this kid Caleb Love was unbelievable. The shots that were being hit in the second half, the drama. I mean, that is genuinely one of the great nights, in my view, the sport has had in recent memory at minimum.
Yeah, there's probably a little recency bias there on your part. There have been a ton of games that have been great and just as good. I think the Duke-Carolina part of it tends to add something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I tend to say during the broadcast, it always delivers, and it did on Saturday night. But, you know, when you have the Duke-Carolina thing, it overshadowed Villanova-Kansas and how well Kansas played, which happens from time to time. You get one game, you know, you can go back a long way for this, but you know, in 1983, you had Houston and Louisville play each other in the semifinals. You had the Doctors of Dunk against Phi Slamma Jamma, and nobody really cared about NC State, Georgia. And then NC State wound up winning the whole thing, and it's one of the most iconic memories we have. And nobody talks about the Houston-Louisville game much anymore. And so, you know, what would make this Duke-Carolina winner, you know, unforgettable is you kind of have to top it off and win the whole thing. Because if Kansas wins this, I'm not sure how long we're going to be talking about Duke having lost to Carolina in that game.
Greeny and Jay Billis is with us here. Let's make this Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I could see it going one of two ways. If you're Carolina, I could see the emotional toll, for lack of a better word, taken by that win, by everything that went into it, by how epic the game was and everything else. I could see that impacting them one of two ways. One, they're on a magic carpet ride and they play the game of their lives tonight against Kansas. Or two, they literally left everything that they had on the floor Saturday night and they're not ready for tonight. How do you see the impact of that game Saturday night on tonight?
I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think they'll move on. You know, you celebrate right after and you move on. I mean, the game they're playing tonight is bigger than the one they played on Saturday, because Saturday was to get there. This is to win it. And the games get bigger progressively as you go to the title game. So I don't have any concern that they're not going to be ready to play or emotionally spent from that game. It seems like we do that stuff in hindsight. You know, if they win, they rode the wave of emotion and momentum and all that stuff. If they lose, they were emotionally spent. You know, it's always in hindsight we mess with that stuff. But, you know, they played really well, especially over the last 15 games. And they've got three guys that are playing just lights out, actually four, that are playing lights out right now. And, you know, Brady Manick and Caleb Love, they've taken 90 threes in this tournament, those two. And Kansas, their whole team has taken 91. So they better guard that three-point line. It's really going to be a fun game. And Baycott has been as good as any big guy. If he gets a double-double in that game, that's the most double-doubles since David Robinson had 31 in 1986. That's a pretty good year by Armando Baycott.
We'll see how the ankle affects him. He sort of willed it to stay in that game the other night with the adrenaline and everything else, and we'll see 48 hours later how it is. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And so let's get to Kansas here, because you're right, that game became the preliminaries, right? That's like the prelims that you get on a fight night. But for the last three halves, meaning what they did to Miami in that second half in Chicago last week, and then the way they played, particularly the way they opened the other night, they look like the best team to me. You obviously live in this every single day. Right this minute, they look like the best team to me.
Well, yeah, but that, you know, they look like the best team in the last game they played, but right, going into that game, they hadn't shot the ball particularly well, and everybody's talking about Duke being the best team, because Duke in the first four games of the tournament played better than anybody, and it wasn't really close. But Kansas, Ochai Agbaji's last two has been magnificent. I mean, he's averaging close to 20 a game. I think it's 19 and a half. He's shooting 70% from the field. In his last two games, he's 8 of 9 from three. And if he keeps shooting like that, you know, Leaky Black will probably guard him, who is an all-defensive performer in the ACC and one of the 5 or 10 best defenders in the country, I'd say. But the matchup of Jalen Wilson and Brady Manick is going to be important. And I think Dewan Harris on RJ Davis is going to be big. Can he pressure him and make it difficult for him to run Carolina's offense? And then David McCormick and Armando Baycott, those two guys going head to head. They both had great semifinal games, and McCormick may have had the best game he's ever played. He had 25 against Villanova and was about as efficient as he's ever been. So, you know, both teams are playing well, but a lot's going to depend on how they guard and whether, you know, whether guys get some fouls hung on them. That could be game changing too.
So it's be fascinating. Yeah, as one who I was just rooting for Villanova to get back in the game just to make it a game. You know, I just wanted to see a good game. Abaji, he just wouldn't miss. I mean, it was. I know McCormick was the hero of the game, or was the every analyst I've had, Jay, has told me he was the reason that they won. But to me, Abaji just kept knocking. He would not miss a shot. He was 6 for his first 6 from three, and he was unstoppable. Let me finish it by going back to Coach K. So I remember a very long time ago now, Jay, the night after, or the morning after, Bob Knight set the all-time wins record. So he broke the record that Coach K has subsequently broken. I had Bob Knight on the old show on Mike and Mike, and I asked him, you know, you're a person who has so many interests and all of that. Like, what mountain do you have left to climb? And he didn't want any part of that. He didn't want any part of having that conversation. What do you think, Coach K, what mountain does he climb now? He's young enough and healthy enough and has enough opportunity, you know, to have a really nice chapter of his life remaining. What do you think he spends it doing?
Hopefully just enjoying himself for the most part. But I do think he has a role to play in the game. I mean, you know, the college game and to an extent the NBA, I think, you know, continue to need help in how to do things. The NBA is much better at running their business, but if somehow the structure of college sports would listen and maybe make some structural changes to the bureaucracy that is resistant to change, he could be really helpful. But there's got to be a willingness on their part to listen, and that's hurdle number one. I mean, you know, the game of basketball at the college level does not listen. And that's why there are so many issues it's facing. But I think he could be really helpful in that regard.
That's really interesting. You know, Jay, you and I haven't talked about this in a little while. We have, over the course of time, talked about it a million times, about the changes that you and I both believe individually we should see in college sports. And it does feel like the pendulum is moving in that direction to a significant degree. I guess I would ask, how encouraged do you feel by some of the changes, really significant institutional change that we have seen in big-time college sports in the last handful of years?
Well, the changes are happening against the NCAA's will, and that's sort of the problem. And there's been no planning for this, no adapting to change, and they have no regulations in place. So you've got their enforcement division still enforcing, you know, old rules when we've got a completely new world that everyone's living in. And we haven't really moved forward at all. So you got a lot of people with questions. They've got a transformation committee. I think the NCAA president came out the other day and said, we have a long way to go on Title IX. And you're like, Title IX, it's been in place for 50 years. Now, how could we be so far behind on equity? He said, we have a long way to go in equity, and we're not anywhere close. And you're like, that's a pretty big admission of failure. But part of the problem, Greeny, is there's such a big bureaucracy with all these different committees and, you know, the NCAA Board of Governors and all this stuff. They don't listen very well. And I think they need to start listening and making structural changes so that they can make better decisions. And that's easy to say, but the reason that it's hard to do is because they don't want to. The big bureaucracy means we don't know who's in charge, which means we don't know who's accountable and we don't know who to blame. That's why they do it that way, is, you know, there's amazing accountability on the NCAA tournament because they make $1 billion doing that. And then all the conferences make their own money in their conference deals. So it's amazing. There's pinpoint responsibility and all that. But the other stuff, we don't listen very well.
This is a conversation that we can definitely have as we go forward here. But enjoy the game tonight, Jay. Thank you so much, as always, and I will see you soon, my friend.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, that's Jay Billis with us here. Always fascinating. I'm Greeny. I'm presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle and protect today under one roof. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We have a lot more to get into, and the hashtag crew needs to weigh in on Saturday night and other things as well. We're busy. Stay there. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, this is Greeny with you here, presented by Progressive Insurance. In 30 seconds, we have all kinds of thoughts on an epic game on Saturday night, and then we will get to the scoop. Today is an interesting one. Nuno found an interesting story about one of the most beloved players in sports and why he is being roundly criticized in interesting ways. We'll get to all that in 30 seconds, but this from Vivid Seats. With the safe return of live events, you can actually be there to catch all the action in person with Vivid Seats. Every alley-oop, every one-timer, every sideline grab can be experienced live, and with Vivid Seats rewards, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you have to do is collect stamps, redeem, and repeat. It's that easy. From upper level to courtside, Vivid Seats has you covered for all the events that matter to you. So grab your tickets today. Cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. The assembled members of the hashtag crew are here, and that would be hashtag Nuno and hashtag Hembo. We do not have hashtag Bubba. He is in mourning. He is the Duke fan extraordinaire, and he did not make it into work today. Nuno, do I assume that is because of the loss on Saturday night?
Well, let me just tell you this. I got these two texts back-to-back on Saturday night from Bubba, and then we can figure out if he called out because of this. Can't believe they actually lost to North Carolina in his last game. So embarrassing. How could he let this happen? He's really going to go out with they lost to UNC. Crazy. So I'll ask you, do you think Bubba called out because they lost?
Yes, I do. And I think Bubba is also blasphemous, because it sounds to me like he's blaming Krzyzewski for that defeat. Look, I'm the first one. We have a segment called hashtag KOD. So I'm the first one to admit my predictions generally are awful, just awful. We used to do a segment called My Picks Stink. So, I mean, I'm always wrong. So every now and again, when I get one right, I feel like I have the right to point it out. And I had this game exactly right last week. I told you one of two things will happen. Either Duke will beat them easily, because I think Duke is better. I mean, they have more pros. So I thought Duke might beat them easily. But I said to you, if this game is close, Carolina's going to win. And I think, as I let Hembo take it here, and then we'll get some thoughts from Nuno, and then I have some too, the big kid getting in foul trouble is such an enormous factor in that game, because Duke never got a chance. You know, at halftime, there was a lot of, well, Duke should feel good that they stayed in it. Like, they had to play that whole half basically without their center, and Carolina wasn't able to get away from them. But I saw it differently. I said they never got a chance to take control of the game. And every minute that went off the clock, I thought was Carolina's favor. Every minute that went off the clock and Duke wasn't ahead by 10, I thought worked in Carolina's favor, and that's how the game winds up. Hembo, what was your take on the game?
I think you have that pegged properly, but I found myself just riveted. Like, I always know how good the game is by how often I just sort of like spontaneously check my phone, right? I'd hardly ever looked at it for the entire second half. It was that kind of good. And I tweeted after the game that when you consider the buildup, the context, and the stakes, I'm not sure I've ever watched a better basketball game in my life. What didn't it have? It had every single thing you could possibly imagine. Like, the game by itself was an all-time classic. And when you consider the context, to me it was an all-timer.
So I tried to say that, and Jay Billis accused me of recency bias. Here's what I will say. If you look up recency bias in the dictionary, there's going to be a picture of me writing a tease, okay? A lifetime spent trying to sell people on the excitement of sports. That's what I do for a living, is to make you try and, you know, want to continue listening to or watching my shows. So I understand that sometimes I have a tendency to overstate something. I really don't think I'm overstating it when I say this is one of the greatest games when you consider the stakes and everything else ever. I'll give you a quick example. We had a little party to watch it. There's like a screening room in the building I live in. Like you can reserve the room and they have like the big screen. You know, it's like watching a movie. And we had probably like 12, 13 people down there, one of whom was a young woman who told me she had never watched a basketball game before. She is the girlfriend of one of my nephew's buddies. Sweet, sweet girl. And she's not from the United States originally. So she doesn't know anything about American sports. Couldn't have been less interested when she walked in the door, but she was just accompanying her boyfriend to this little get-together. She sat next to me. She was riveted. Like she was asking me to explain to her the significance of things that were happening. And maybe it's just because the whole room was going, oh, on all these threes that kept getting knocked down late. But I'm talking about people who don't even understand the sport. Couldn't take their eyes off the screen. I thought it was that good. You know, the college basketball season has just the one game to play. That means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has announced the final ballot. Go to ESPN.com, search Wooden Watch for the list of the Wooden Award nominees. It's better breakfast o'clock at Wendy's to get a bacon or sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit for $1. Even Nuno, even you cannot have something negative to say about that game. Go.
No, I can't. It lived up to the hype of just the drama. You could tell the angst in both, like, obviously Coach K and, you know, him trying to work over the refs and Hubert and him defending his guys. And big shot after big shot with runs where you thought, you know, the beginning of that second half, Duke goes up by 7. All of a sudden, you think that, like, is this game getting away from them? Carolina just goes on a run to take the lead. There was just so much emotion, so much back and forth that it surpassed any hype that we had for that game.
That is, it did the impossible. It made Nuno say nice things on this program, which I never thought I would live to see happen. And it does. You put some good stuff in the Google Doc today, Nuno. Like, what's the last game like this that lived up? Like, we've had a ton of hype, right? Like, Tom, the last game I can think of that had this level of hype was when Brady went back to Foxborough. That was the last time something was hyped up like this, like Game of the Ages, you know, the kind of thing. Like there were very few games like this in history. This is not about whether it was a better game than, you know, last year when Gonzaga beat UCLA on that unbelievable shot. Mm-hmm. But it's not about whether it was a better quality game. But that was Gonzaga beating UCLA. This is Carolina Duke for the first and maybe only time ever. How often does Halley's Comet go by? I should probably know this, but I don't.
What
is it, like once every, how often? Like this is Halley's Comet. That's what we saw Saturday night. You saw something that no one has ever seen before, and we could very well live the rest of our lives and never see it again. And it lived up to the hype. I just feel grateful for it, frankly. How often does Halley's Comet go by?
Every 75 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
These teams have been playing each other since 1920. So you get to see Halley's Comet more often than you get to see Duke and Carolina play in the NCAA tournament. So, all right, that was epic. We will have more on that game as we continue. You know, the job search can be a long, frustrating journey. That's why ZipRecruiter's AI does so much of the work for you. They send you jobs you can apply to with one click, and they pitch your profile to employers. Sign up for free at ZipRecruiter.com. All right, next.
The Scoop.
The Scoop is this. The people in Boston are down on Brady. They are ripping Tom Brady to shreds in New England. And I've got two examples of that. Now, you tell me if you think these are fair. Dan Shaughnessy is a longtime columnist at the Boston Globe. I know Dan a little, not well. He's been on shows that I've hosted over the years. I like him. And he wrote this, an item questioning why so many people still root for Brady. He writes, "Why do so many folks cover for Tom? Watching the obtuse ESPN gang ignore Tom's fingerprints on Bruce Arians' cold body, parentheses, I think I saw an Arians chalk outline on the pavement outside Raymond James Stadium, made my head explode." Now, I would quickly say to Dan, obviously you weren't watching or listening to me, because I said that immediately, that it would be ridiculous to think that it was just a coincidence that Brady decided to come back and Arians decided not to be the coach anymore. Ben Volen wrote a similar item saying that Brady, quote, in recent years has become more assertive about controlling his career after years of subservience to the Patriots. It seems pretty clear to me that Brady either explicitly told the Glazers he couldn't play for Arians anymore or the Glazers took the hint. Either way, Brady won. I guess my question to both of them would be, why is that a bad thing? Does anyone think Bruce Arians was a great coach? Bruce Arians is a great guy. Bruce Arians' legacy is all that he did for diversity and inclusion, a major issue in the National Football League. And this is a guy who walked the walk and as well as talked the talk about giving minority coaches opportunities, about giving female coaches opportunities, about doing any number of other things that in the big picture are more important than being a great football coach. But he's not been a great head coach. Do you think that if Tom Brady, I'm going to ask you this question, Himbo. If indeed Tom Brady said, look, if I'm going to keep playing, I want to win championships, and that's not the best coach for me to do it, and he went about orchestrating that, is that a bad thing?
Not from where I sit. Bruce Arians had won one playoff game before Tom Brady became his quarterback. I agree with you. Bruce Arians is a fine coach, a good coach, but he's a very replaceable coach. Tom Brady is the least replaceable quarterback that ever lived.
Yeah.
So if I'm choosing between the two, the choice is obvious and clear.
So I don't know what obtuse ESPN gang Dan is talking about. Teddy Bruschi on Get Up. I mean, we have one of the biggest shows at ESPN, so I'll just use our show as an example. Teddy Bruschi said he doesn't think that Brady made it an ultimatum. I don't think that's the same thing as ignoring the obvious connection there. I think Ben Volen has it right. I think it is likely that the ownership of the Buccaneers took the hint. Brady strikes me as the kind of guy who's able to keep his hands clean on stuff like that. So I wonder if this sounds a little sour grapesy. Like, do you look down, like when Brady Sr. was on, when Tom's father was on here, he seemed very defensive as though there was a lot of criticism for Brady changing his mind, retiring and coming back. I don't know. I'm not hearing it. Like, I don't feel like I'm hearing that criticism. The man is entitled to change his mind. Like, to me, the explanation for his decision to come back was a pretty easy one, which is to say he decided to step away for what turned out to be the wrong reasons. He decided to step away because he thought that was the right thing to do for the people around him. And what he came to realize, and maybe those, I don't know his relationship with Giselle well enough to know this, but I can think it is certainly possible that after whatever period of time it was, Giselle said to him, you know something? You're not going to be fulfilled. You're not going to be happy. We'll make this work. You got to go do this until it's out of your system, or you're not going to be a happy person, and no one wants to be married to an unhappy person. I think that's a perfectly reasonable explanation, and I don't think there's any obvious room for criticism in it. And if he felt, if I'm going to come back to Tampa, I need a better coach, I don't know. He played for the greatest coach of all time. I can see him saying, why is it I have to coach this team? Where is the guy who's supposed to be coaching the team? I don't see that as being such a terrible thing. Maybe I'm missing the point.
Here's why I think the Bruce Arians factor is the biggest among them all. Because it's pretty clear that Tom Brady didn't really want to retire. He did so haphazardly, and he stayed retired for 40 days. He gave up football for Lent.
Right.
Like, Tom Brady never intended to be retired. I think it's much likelier that he caught wind that Bruce Arians might not come back, then his wife miraculously discovered after 40 days that he's miserable at home.
I actually think what happened was Brady was considering trying to find a way to get to another team. Mm. And when he realized they weren't going to let him do it, no matter what happened. Remember, Arians said bad business to let him go. Favre did this once upon a time. Favre waited until the team, he retired from the Jets. And then he waited until the Jets drafted Mark Sanchez. And then he said, on second thought, I think I'll come back, knowing the Jets would just release him. And he wound up going exactly where he wanted to go all along, which is Minnesota. I think that that's what Brady wanted to do. Mm. I'm not convinced Miami isn't the place that he was going to wind up. We'll never know. And then it was made clear to him, perhaps, we're not going to let you do that. If you're going to come back and play, you're going to play here. And who knows how that conversation went. But it certainly would have seemed reasonable to me that it might have gone to, well, if we're going to do that, we're going to need to talk about the coaching. I think all that is fair. Like, I don't think that's And again, let me make it clear. I'm just speculating. I don't know any of that. But that sounds reasonable. And I guess what I'm saying is, would you criticize him for that? Magic Johnson, who just cried in my studio an hour ago and is maybe the most beloved human being in American sports, got a coach fired in L.A.? At the very beginning of his career, he got Paul Westhead fired. There's no secret in that. So that's what stars do. Tom Brady knows better than anyone what they need to win a championship. And if he said, we need a better coach, I don't think that you criticize that. So I'm just a little thrown. I don't mind the criticism, if indeed that's criticism of me or of us. I'm a big boy. I can take it. But I don't think that's a reasonable thing to criticize. I think that's the way the great ones think. If I'm going to come back, I'm not going to play for that guy. So that's the way I see that part of it. We'll see where it winds up going from here. You're aware, by the way, of the ESPN Daily podcast, right? Deep dive into a single story from one of our hundreds of reporters. It's presented by Supercuts, and it is available wherever you get your podcasts every single day. All right, coming up, something that needed to be addressed finally was. You will hear what was said, and then we will tell you what it meant after this word from ZipRecruiter. The job search can be a frustrating journey filled with long, lonely hours on the computer and countless attempts to get noticed by employers. ZipRecruiter gets it. No one wants to feel alone in their job search, and that's why ZipRecruiter's AI does so much of that work for you. They save you time by sending you jobs you can apply to with one click, and they pitch your profile to employers so you stand out. Job seekers, feel the love. Sign up for free at ZipRecruiter.com. That's ZipRecruiter.com. Back in a flash on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio. According to research, 90% of employers plan to enhance their employee experience this year. If you need to add more employees, there's ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified candidates for your job. You can invite your top choices to apply. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. All right, so something needed to be addressed, and it was by Carlos Beltran in an interview or conversation with our friend and colleague Michael Kay. So Beltran, just to give you a quick background here, Beltran, who of course was a tremendous player in his day, he was the bench coach for the Astros, right, when they won the World Series and they had the trash can banging, sign-stealing thing. He was then hired to be... What?
He was in his last year as a player.
Oh, he was a player then.
Alex Cora was the bench coach.
Sorry. Yes, I knew I was going to get part of that wrong. He was a player on that team. One way or another, he was on that team. He then got hired to be the manager of the Mets and had to be replaced as the manager of the Mets before he got a chance to manage a single game. Because when this investigation came out, people said, wait a minute, you can't hire this guy to be your manager. He cheated. And now he's sort of hanging around and he's working for the Yes Network. So he'll be an analyst in New York. And this had to be addressed. He couldn't start analyzing Yankee games of all teams, which is one of the team they beat in the ALCS that year, without at least once clearing the air on this. So I don't have sound on this, so I'm just going to read you the conversation. Michael asked him, where did the Astros cross the line? And he said, looking back now, yes, we did cross the line. We all did what we did. Looking back today, we were wrong. I wish I would have asked more questions about what we were doing. I wish the organization would have said to us, hey, man, what you guys are doing, we need to stop this. Nobody really said anything. We're winning, you know, and some days our system really worked. Some days it didn't really work, but we had a good team, Michael. We had such a good team. And then Michael said, is there a stain on the championship? And he said, yeah, there is, because you know what we did, and we have all taken responsibility, and at some point we have all shown remorse about what we did. That's the one part of this I would argue with. I do not think they've done a good job of showing remorse. I think there's been a lot of defensiveness. I think there's been a lot of obfuscating. I think there's been a lot of lying that has continued past this. The whole don't rip my shirt off ridiculousness because of a tattoo fiasco or whatever it is. But one way or another, this had to be addressed, and it was. Hembo, you are the biggest baseball fan of anyone I know, so a cheating scandal probably cuts you to your core more than it does anybody else. Will there ever be a time to forgive and forget the 2017 Astros?
I don't think so. I think 2017 and all of what they did and what we came to learn is a permanent black spot on that team and on baseball. There are going to be two World Series defined by these kinds of things. 1919, when the White Sox lost on purpose, and 2017, when the Astros cheated to win it. And the amount of vitriol still around the game from that is palpable today. Like, Brian Cashman last week gave an interview destroying the Astros for cheating during that series in the 2017 ALCS. It still grinds his gears. There are fans all across the country that feel the same way. There are still active players that can't look at those players with a straight face anymore because they cheated the game. I don't know that they'll ever get past it, and I think there's a real chance that it keeps Beltran and perhaps Jose Altuve out of the Hall of Fame.
So it's interesting because, and I will get Nuno in this as well as a Yankee fan, but I think the right answers to this are not to be found in the specific teams that they beat because they have an obvious axe to grind. I think the bigger answers are to be found here, or the more meaningful ones, in the people who might not otherwise have had a horse in the race. Are you willing to forgive this? I shouldn't have said forget. We certainly won't forget. But are you willing to forgive it? Does Carlos Beltran ever manage? Does he become a manager? A.J. Hinch is managing the Tigers.
And
right?
Alex Cora is managing the Red Sox.
So why would Beltran, because he was a player and those guys were coaches? I mean, one was a manager. Like, is that the line of delineation here?
Those guys served their suspensions, Cora and Hinch. It was 1 year. They're allowed back. Beltran, you might recall, was the only player named in Major League Baseball's report because they talked to all the active players, and for the sake of anonymity, I guess, they were all clear. They were not punished. Beltran was the only person named. That's why the Mets had to cut him loose. Who knows? I'd imagine if he wanted to manage and there was a team that wanted him to manage, he'd be doing that and not TV.
So here's what it made me think about, which is it right to judge people exclusively by the worst thing you know about them? And are there some things that are so bad, like let's just eliminate the obvious one, someone guilty of murder, rape, that's a whole different thing, right? Those people, no. Yes, it is perfectly fair to judge people based on that. But the example I keep coming back to in my own head is what happened at the Oscars last week, like Will Smith. Will Smith has been a beloved person, right? I mean, I'm old enough to have watched The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when it was originally on, and he's been like a friendly, cheerful, beloved superstar for decades. He did an obviously terrible thing at the Oscars last week, right? No one is defending it. It was a bad thing to do. But he didn't kill anybody. Chris Rock is fine. You know, he's probably upset and humiliated, but he's, you know, he'll be okay. So, like, is there ever a point where that isn't what we think of Will Smith? Like, do you ever remember how funny he was in Hitch and how great he was in Men in Black without saying, oh, yeah, and he's the guy who slapped Chris Rock in a bad moment at the Oscars? Like, do you ever forget Carlos Beltran was an unbelievable player? He has a lot to offer as a manager. Do you ever forget, oh, by the way, he was on the team that cheated in the World Series? I know this is not an apples to apples, but trust me, when you're sitting there thinking, Greeny, those are not even similar to each other. I fully understand that. But for some reason, it is the thing that keeps coming into my head.
Here's the difference, though. What Will Smith did to Chris Rock was something that he just, it's just something he did. We know that that's not who he is. The Astros are a championship winning baseball team because of that, because of a year long pattern of behavior. It wasn't a one time thing. It wasn't, you know, Juan Marichal wielding that bat in 1965. Like, we know he was a great guy. He did a bad thing once. He did a bad thing for years. That's who they were. That's not what they did. And thus, that's why I'm not willing to forgive them.
I get it. I still think there's another side to this. I have a few more thoughts on this that I want to get to as we start a new hour here. And then we have much more baseball actually coming today. And we have time for your calls as well. Stay with us. Big hour on the way. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.